Greetings. You're now listening to the most handsome and intellectually superior specimens on Earth. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Starts now.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is where you are. We hope that you're doing well. We're pleased to be able to bring you another episode of I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. My name is Fresh, and we're thankful that you decided to join us today. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to remind you that if you like what you hear, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts and rate our podcast and leave us a comment or two. In addition to Apple Podcasts, the podcast is now available on Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and CastBox, with more outlets to come in the future. You can also connect with us on our social media platforms on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at ICBW Podcast. That's at ICBW Podcast. Be sure to like, comment, and follow. You can also check us out on our website at ICBWPodcast.com. That is ICBWPodcast.com. And oh yeah, be on the lookout for our new merchandise store coming later this quarter. We appreciate your support in advance. Going to have like a little mini rebrand of the I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It logo. We're going to be offering the original classic style plus two updated styles on the website. We appreciate your support. Buy about 40 or 50 of them joints for us, man, so we can keep this thing going. We really appreciate you. So now, without further delay, let's get this thing rolling. I'd like to introduce my partner, who is a connoisseur of all things cultural. He's my partner in podcast crime. Reg, what is the deal? Holistic pimping.
Fresh, I hadn't seen you since the last time I saw you, brother. You say a holistic pimping?
Holistic pimping. It's pimping from the soul, like bro. That's what I'm saying, right? It's like you pimping from the soul. Pimping from the soul, man. What's good with you, man?
Man, I think this is going to be a dandy. This is really going to be a classic one. Top 10 hip-hop albums of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Well, I just want to tell the people right now, this is going to be a long show, but you know, it's going to be such a good show that you're not going to feel like that it's a long show. So, cause we got some opinions when it comes to hip hop. Everybody knows why we do these top tens by now, man. We like to accentuate our culture. We want to make sure that our culture is celebrated by us. We do not want it to die or fall further into the clutches of the enemy to be manipulated and appropriated for their benefit.
Wow, that's very eloquently said, brother.
Exactly, man. So it's if we don't celebrate the culture, man, somebody's eventually gonna steal it, and well, they've already stolen it. They're gonna continue to, you know,
squall.
They're gonna continue to rip off bits and pieces of it to use it for their gain. So we have to appreciate it. And that's why we talk about these things, man. So that's why we talk about it. So again, man, top 10 hip hop albums of all time.
And as you guys know, it's all subjective to who we...
Yeah, it's all subjective. But fuck your subjective list, though. I'm just going to put it out there right now, man. Fuck your list.
Yes.
You already know what's going on. Fuck your list, man. You already know what's up.
Yes.
So, hey, but look, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, you know, we had to pull up some stuff on this one, man. So, you know, we knew this was going to be a debate, so we had to go ahead and get some libations up in here, too, man, so we could handle the pressure and the stress.
Your own troubles. Yeah.
Right, because I don't know about you, man, but it was very, very difficult to narrow this down to 10.
It really was.
So I didn't.
You cheated.
I cheated like a motherfucker. I got
part A, section.
Right, right. I have that shit broken down to the very last compound, to quote KRS-One.
I feel
It is going to be, a hell of a show, man. So we want to go ahead and get started, man. We're going to start off with the honorable mentions.
Okay.
And I'm going to let you go ahead and get started because my shit might take about it might take a minute, man. So I'm going to go ahead and let you go.
Basically, we're not really going into any deep discussions with them, right? So
no, on honorable mentions, man, we're just going to roll them off. We'll let the people, because I mean, obviously, I'm going to tell you right off, man, there's going to be some honorable mentions that people are going to be like, man, that's my number 5 album of all time.
Exactly.
What the fuck
yeah.
you talking about?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, somebody is inevitably going to be pissed off, and, you know, we can appreciate that.
Right.
You know, my phone goes off enough during the week to know that people are still pissed off about me having Black Thought as the number one MC of all time.
which isn't really bad, but you know, I think it depends.
Dude, I get at least a text, you know, every 6 or 7 days about that shit. Though, for real. They on your nuts about that biggie shit, man.
Hey, I'm just saying, man.
But anyway,
you know, it is what it is, and you know, you'll learn one day. But I'll start with my list.
Let's rock.
Honorable mentions in no particular order. Okay.
Yeah, no particular order because my shit's all over the place. People, if you could see our notes here, you would think that we're like trying to cure cancer up in this bitch or something because it's like Mission Control.
Right. Whiteboards and
dual monitors and everything. I mean, it's crazy up in here. So, but yeah, we gonna try to make some sense out of this. So go ahead, man. Go ahead.
All right. In no particular order. Late Registration by Kanye West. The Chronic, Dr. Dre.
That's why I said in the very beginning, fuck your list.
See, hold on, relax.
No, relax. This show about to be over right
the
now.
Score I'm about to cut by the
Oh my God. Okay.
Straight Out of Compton, N.W.A.
What?
Soul Food by Goody Mob, Black Star, the combo with Talib Kweli and Mos Def.
Mm-hmm.
Into the Wu-Tang, The Blueprint,
as honorable Jay-Z, mention,
No Way Out, Puff Daddy and the Family, Unfinished Business, EPMD, America's Most Wanted, Ice Cube, Jazzmatazz, Street Soul, Guru, Speaker Box, The Love Below, Outkast. B.
You know what, man? I'm gonna be honest with you, man. And I'm not gonna. I know your list is pretty long, so I'm not gonna hold you up. I really didn't like that album, man.
Really?
Yeah, I really did.
Well, it's honorable mention because I only liked half of it. Love Below.
It sold like a motherfucker, though. It went diamond. Sort of,
yeah, Speaker Box brought it down. B by Common, To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick Lamar, and Edutainment by KRS-One.
Yeah,
and that was very close. Because that was an album that really, really woke me up to some stuff.
Actually, that was
that was like his third album.
Actually, it's a BDP album.
Yes, it is. It's a BDP, but you know, I'm just saying. So that's honorable mentions, brother.
What was those last three that you said?
Last three, B by Common, To Pimp a Butterfly, and Edutainment. Get down. Any of those could have slipped in.
All right, man.
So what you got?
All right, so as you can see over here, my list is long as fuck.
Damn. Right. So you just want to do like an auction?
Right. Exactly. So no particular order, man. Stakes is High, De La Soul. The Blueprint, Jay-Z. To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick Lamar. Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar. Voluminati, J. Cole. Criminal Minded, BDP. Edutainment, the BDP. Like Water for Chocolate by Common.
No doubt.
Resurrection by Common. Well, it was Common Sense. When you
right,
did.
Common Sense.
Black Star. I got Strictly Business on mine too. I mean, you got Unfinished Business. I got Strictly Business on mine, the first joint. Late Registration, Kanye West. College Dropout, Kanye West. I got The Score, The Fugees. Mobb Deep, The Infamous. Death Certificate by Ice Cube. 3 Feet High and Rising by De La Soul. Things Fall Apart by The Roots.
What?
Yep. Mecca and the Soul Brother, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. Aquemini. Aquemini by Outkast, Enter the 36 Chambers by Wu-Tang, Stankonia by Outkast.
Right.
These are still honorable mentions, people. Get Rich or Die Trying by 50 Cent. The Marshall Mathers LP by Eminem.
Okay.
And I go on.
Damn,
still.
What you on? You got a composition book.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, this shit was hard. Raising Hell by Run DMC.
This...
Hey, man.
What?
I'm going to explain to you why they dropped out of my top 10. I'm going to explain to you. I will explain to you while I drop. You want to know the...
No, go ahead. No, okay. We supposed to keep it going.
Okay. Okay.
Go
Fear of a Black Planet by Public Enemy. Mm. Yep. I know that shit hurt me right there. It hurt me.
Dude, that's your boy.
I know, right? But, you know, I'll make up for it.
I can't wait to hear your 10, man.
Stunts, Blunts, and Hip Hop by Diamond D. Then the Gangstar Trilogy, Hard to Earn, No More Mr. Nice Guy, and Step in the Arena.
Okay.
Niggas for Life, N.W.A. That was actually the one with without Ice Cube, but the album was dope. It was written by Nas.
Right, right.
This one right here, man, just really kind of... Fuck it. Doggy Style, Snoop Dogg. Or he was Snoop Doggy Dogg at the time.
Oh, my god.
Slipped out of the top 10, man. It's on my audible bitch list.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah. K.O.D. by J. Cole. Peaceful Journey, Heavy D and the Boys. That is my...
I'm surprised you had Heavy D in there.
That Peaceful Journey was it was kind of a melancholy album because that was after Triple T where it died. But it was a good album, though. So,
wow.
So, yeah, there's probably going to be some surprises on the top 10.
Clearly.
Again, my criteria is just I loved it. You know.
It had to resonate with you.
It just resonated with me. I did kind of look at, to a degree, I kind of looked at the impact. I didn't look at impact on hip hop. I looked at impact on me.
Ah, there we go.
You see what I'm saying? So
I feel you.
Because that way, the subjectivity... is acceptable because I can't say everybody was affected the same way by Raising Hell like I was. So before we get into your top 10, let me talk about Raising Hell for a minute because I got a feeling that it's in your top 10. The reason why I took Raising Hell out of my top 10 is because after a while, the sound of Raising Hell didn't appeal to me.
What you mean, like production?
Or? Production. It didn't appeal to me after a while. It wore off. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If I had to make a top 10, because you got to think, Raising Hell was like either 82 or 83.
No, it's like 86.
It was 86?
Yeah.
You think was that late?
May 15th of 86 is when it was released.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right, cool. So 86. You got to think, man. If I was making an album that, or if I was judging an album based on the impact on hip hop as a whole and how it furthered the cause of hip hop or the acceptance of hip hop, Raising Hell could arguably be number one.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, so based on my criteria, did I love it? Yes, I loved it for a span of time. But after you heard shit like I Used to Love Her, push Raising Hell back. You know what I'm saying? I mean that start pushing shit back. When you hear Gangstar, when you hear Mass Appeal.
Yeah, I mean that's
when you hear Dwick. I mean that shit right there, it starts pushing those 1980s sounds farther and farther back. And so as I grew in hip hop, Raising Hell kind of became it was more of a reach more figurehead status, respect due to what it did. But sonically it was more nostalgia. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I see your angle.
Yeah.
But it sort of compromises some of your past top 10 lists where it seems like you relish and cherish the old school.
Yeah.
Like when we had the top male R&B groups or something, mm-hmm. that top 10, you seem to sort of hold on to the past, some of the past groups,
mm-hmm.
where R&B has evolved.
Right.
Same thing with hip hop. Hip hop has evolved and sounds right. better in terms of production. So,
right.
Otherwise, I get your angle. I get your angle.
Okay.
My basic criteria, besides the fact that, like with you, that I had to really love it, is that it had to be a complete album for me. So like front to back, for the most part, I'm not skipping a song, and I had to be real with myself. Because a lot of those, like The Chronic, I heard you was like, oh, The Chronic, like The Chronic, for an example, I end up skipping certain songs. That, like, not every song was like big for me. So I had to just sort of push it, and it kept pushing because I had it in my top 10, be honest. And then I pushed, I was like, you know what? Honestly, it's not after I look at this thing. So, but that was my basic criteria. And then lyrics, production, in it as well. But yeah, I'm like you, man. It had to really hit me. So,
all right, man. That's it, brother. So, all right, that's what it is, man. So let's go ahead and do. You want to do? You want alternate? Yeah.
Okay.
Now, well, like I said, it ain't gonna be tit for tat. It's gonna be kind of like tit for tat. Because I got ABCD on some of these.
I got two.
It is what it is. I ain't even gonna apologize for this, man. It is what it is.
Hey, yep. It's too.
We're doing it for the people, man. Doing it for the people. Take notes, people, so y'all can start. So y'all can, you know, start arguing.
And I will say this, right? I will say this. My list contains, my favorite three hip hop groups, four of my top 10 MCs from the previous top 10 MC list that we had. Four of them are in here. One of my favorite hip hop producers, a group that woke me up, and two groups that made me love hip hop.
Okay.
Stop.
That's
so I just break down.
Okay. I got you. Mine's pretty much the same. You know, okay. As far as, like, you know, yeah. Not necessarily the numbers, you know, verbatim, but I mean, yeah, pretty much the same type of sentiment. So before we blast off, everybody, you can definitely hit us up at 704-946-6060, 704-946-6060. If you want to chime in and cuss Reg out about his fucked up ass list that he about to talk about.
That is a standard comment that he makes on these shows. So,
man, fuck your list.
As you know.
704-946-6060, man. If you want to send us a text, leave us a voicemail, man. We appreciate it. So, Reg, let's do it.
Okay, number 10 is just exactly what you were talking about. My number 10 is Raising Hell.
Okay.
Or Run DMC.
Okay, I mean, that's...
Yeah. And I think...
It's respectable, man.
Yeah, I mean, 86 is when it came out. And some of the songs just, you know, they sort of stick with me every time I hear them. Peter Piper, it's tricky.
My Adidas.
I mean, the list goes on. Even they even had, you know, the collab with Aerosmith on this way, which made us really like a little rock, you know, a little rock song going on here. But I think
Run DMC shit, early shit had rock, the scratch guitars and
yeah,
shit,
I mean,
rock shit,
box man. Off their first in 84.
Yeah, strictly, you know, lead guitar on that shit. Yeah. So, yeah.
And, you know, it's like that, and that's the way it is, which was on that first album in 84, but.
What was Hard Times on?
That was on that first. Yeah. Hard Times was on, like, with Sucker MCs.
Yeah,
that was on that first, entitled Run DMC. And one thing about, I know you're a big Chuck D fan. I read some things where Chuck D, this was his favorite album. And this was at the time, this was the reason why he went to Def Jam. And so Run DMC touches all differently. I mean, not really to expound on the group, but this was the album, I think, within their collection that changed me. I mean, I was, 12 years old, going on 13. And I knew where I was. And that was really one of the groups that made me really fall in love with hip hop. And okay. So that album sticks out from that regard.
Okay. That's what's up.
Number 10.
All right, man. Is it just 10 or you have 10A, 10B?
No, I don't have a 10A, 10B.
All right, well.
Uh-oh.
Well, I have 10A, B, C, D, and E.
I'm getting my popcorn.
Yeah, sit down for a minute. Let's talk for a minute. Can I talk to you for a minute? Let's talk for a minute, man. 10A. Reasonable Doubt. Okay. Jay-Z. 10B. Me Against the World, Tupac. 10C, which is going to surprise some people. The Devil Made Me Do It by Paris.
By who?
Paris.
Okay.
That album made me want to get up and start a revolutionary type war.
Yeah?
You know, from a black man's perspective. That shit, man, will have you ready to go slap the shit out of some people.
I got
you. You know what I'm saying? That album moved me, man. It's like, and it was heartfelt. I mean, if you know what that brother stands for, a very intelligent brother, you know, educated brother, but all about that blackness, man. So, and he's been consistent as fuck for his entire career. So he actually produced a Public Enemy album.
Oh yeah, he's tight, brother.
Yeah, so you know, he's production was crazy. That it was that sinister, dark sound. It was some shit that I needed to hear at the time that I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. Shit, man. I want to say maybe 89.
Okay, I was about to say late 80s. Yeah, that sounds about right. Surprised you had some Tupac in there. So,
man, let me tell you,
if I had a hat on right now, I would tip my hat to you, sir.
Let me tell you, the reason why I got Tupac on there, man, is basically, to be honest with you, man, that album, all the songs weren't hits, but I liked, obviously, So Many Tears. I liked Temptations, and I think it was Death Around the Corner.
Okay. And actually, All Eyes on Me is, I should have had my honorable mention. I didn't. I left that one off, so.
Mm-hmm.
But that was my favorite of Tupac.
Okay. Yeah, The Devil Made Me Do It came out in 90.
Okay.
When it came out on Jay-Z's birthday in 1990, as a matter of fact, December 4th. So,
was that three you just went
through? No, that, I got 10D. 10D is Enter the 36 Chambers, Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
And then 10E, which is my final one, is AT Aliens by Outkast.
This dude.
Hey, man. It is what it is, man.
You got 18. Okay, so all those five.
You can spin a wheel.
Really?
Point to one, and they could be number 10.
Really?
Without taking anything away from the other four.
So they are AT Aliens is equal to Devil Made Me Do It.
And as far as my hip-hop listening experience, yes.
Okay.
Two totally different ends of the spectrum, but at the same time, that's why they occupy the same space, though. Because they, you know, they hit me. Remember what my criteria was? It's like I loved it.
Yeah, I love it.
I love these.
You equally love those.
I equally love these at number 10. Like I said, spin a wheel, stopping on either one of them. Any one of these could be number 10, and you wouldn't get an argument from me.
Okay.
All right.
It is.
All right, man. So number 9.
Number 9. This is probably higher on most people's lists, but here it is. Paid in Full. Eric B. and Rakim. Just like with Raising Hell.
I'm about to cut your motherfucking mic off.
Yeah. Just like with Raising Hell, same time span. I think it was the same year, maybe the next year that it came out, whatever. Matter of fact, it was July of 87. When I heard Eric B. For president at the bus stop in middle school.
Right.
Dude. Because, you know, growing up in South Carolina, if you're away from New York, and that's really where hip-hop, you know, was, especially in the 80s, if you heard something, it was like, you know, it was like a treasure. It was like you had a $2 bill. And I was privy to have some friends that, you know, from New York transplanted down that brought that stuff. And, dude, when he put that Walkman on my head with Eric B., dude, move the crowd, Paid in Full. I Know You Got Soul, My Melody.
Shit, Eric B. is president. I was introduced to Eric B. and Rakim through the first thing that I heard was My Melody. That was the first thing that I heard. And I was like, who the hell is this? Because at the time, it was like a long ass song.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? It, you know, especially with the, you know, with the.
It had a lot of.
It had a lot of shit in it. And yeah, I mean, it's outstanding album.
Yeah. And the reason why it's 9 and not higher than maybe your list or anyone else's is, once again, with my criteria, there's a few songs in there that I would sort of skip. So I think it was maybe a good.
What was you skipping?
Half or two thirds.
What were you skipping?
I don't know all the song titles.
Okay. You skipping I Ain't No Joke.
No.
Maybe Eric B. is on the cut. Maybe you skip that. But you're going to skip My Melody. You're going to skip I Know You Got Soul. You're going to skip Move the Crowd. You're going to skip Paid in Full. You're going to skip As the Rhyme Goes On.
My Melody, I know you got so painful, move the crowd, Eric B for president.
As the rhyme goes on.
I mean, I'm just saying, those are the ones, I just told you what songs sort of resonate.
So that's basically,
it's most of the album. Is what I'm saying is, what is it?
10? What you skipping? It's 10 songs. So what
it's
you,
10 songs, so
I'm which ones you skipping?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm skipping 4 songs.
Which 4 are you skipping?
The ones that I didn't call. You do the math.
God, this
do you know every song, every album? I'm just saying.
All right, all right, man. Okay.
So, but there it is.
All right. Okay. All right. Whatever, motherfucker. Whatever.
Where's your 9, nigga?
All right. Number 9, I got 9A and 9B, of course.
We're
going to
be here all day.
We might be in this motherfucker all day. I ain't even going front on you, bro. Number 9, A, Ready to Die.
What? You got something with Biggie?
Man, let me tell you.
You when I heard slit your wrist. To put
let me
it
tell
on
you,
it.
Man. No,
I'm proud
man.
Of you. Actually, I'm
no. I mean, it's like when I heard it, I was like, "This is fucking phenomenal."
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, it really is.
So why isn't the shit higher?
When you
can't wait to hear.
That's what I'm saying. When you see the rest of my list, then you'll be like, "Okay, it's you can only
okay."
You know, I could have had. I mean, really, man. To be honest, all these albums could have been 1A through Z. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's how important these works of art are, man. You know, we hope that the listeners feel the same. It's like, I mean, your album, if we haven't mentioned it, let me know. Because, I mean, Listen to our honorable mentions and the top 10. If we haven't mentioned your album that you think is number one, let us know. Because I feel like that we're going to cover a lot of ground on this. So,
right.
I mean, what can I say about Ready to Die, man? It was like, you don't skip shit on that.
I don't skip nothing.
You'll skip nothing. No. So it is what it is. It's definitely a complete work of art. But there's just some stuff that came out, you know, before and after that I feel like that hit me better. Cause it's like you said, the subjectivity of it, you know, comes into play.
I'm very proud of you, sir. I really, cause after it wasn't on your honorable mentions, and I know how you have this love hate with Biggie, especially with him being on my top 10,
I just don't have him number MC, one. I just don't have him number one.
But I'm glad that I was like, if he didn't have an honorable mention, I hope, please, that this is in that 10.
I mean, dude, I'm a hip-hop aficionado, bro. I know good shit when I hear it.
Okay.
But this is the thing, though. Biggie was in my top 10 on top 10 MCs. Just wasn't number one.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not anti-Biggie.
So this album is really sort of commensurate with where you had Biggie. Right. I think he was like 9 or 10.
Yeah, he was 9.
All right.
On that, right. So
I give you credit on your alignment.
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, it would have been hard for him to, I forgot to say Life After Death in my honorable mentions, because that's definitely honorable mention. But I still felt like that was kind of, I don't know if it was finished before he died, or they just threw some other shit together after the fact.
It was a little gloomy.
It was kind of disjointed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But just on some respect shit though, man. Just honorable mention on this shit for real though.
No doubt.
But I mean, what can I really say about Ready to Die? This shit's a fucking classic album, man. And on some real shit, man, Puffy might not be Puffy. Diddy might not be Diddy.
That was his.
Had that shit not dropped.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
that's his
really,
signature.
Right. Because I think Craig Mack may have already been out.
He was.
But it wasn't this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
this is the
rest in peace, Craig Mack, by the way. Rest in peace to Biggie as well.
True. What's your 9B?
9B is By All Means Necessary, Boogie Down Productions.
Yep.
This is after, this is the first album after Scholar Rock was murdered. And one would have thought that KRS would have fell off. But that shit was strong. Yeah. It was a strong ass album.
Actually came stronger after Scholar Rock.
That's what I'm saying. I really felt like that it was, you know, it was a strong ass album. And probably has, when we do the top 10 songs in hip hop songs, in hip hop history, my philosophy is probably in my top 10.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? That's just, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. Was that the album cover where he was at the window like Malcolm X?
Like Malcolm X,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that was a good
one. So, I still got my original CD off that shit too, man.
Okay.
But nonetheless.
If you were really old school, you say you had your original cassette tape, but You know?
Well, I did have the cassette tape, but I left it in my car and it melted.
So, melted.
Yeah, man. I had a 79 Grand Prix, man, with vinyl seats.
Oh, but that shit just, yeah, you know,
it ruined it. Yeah, it ruined it.
Wow.
But anyway, number eight, man. Who you got number eight?
All right, number eight is not on your list or probably anyone else's. So this is different, but it is.
How you know?
I promise you, it is the culmination of a project by, I think, probably one of the best producers, J Dilla from Detroit. Okay. And you look perplexed.
Was it Donuts?
Nope.
Let me say, because that's an instrumental.
Nope. It was Slum Village.
Slum Village.
Fantastic Volume 2.
Okay.
From start to finish, I probably listened to this more than, really almost more than anything. Get This Money. I would say that before I go to work. Get This Money. What you say? What you gonna do today? Me, I'm going to get paid. Climax, Jealousy.
Yeah,
Players.
Climax is my joint.
The groove of it was really. It was Dilla.
It's like neo soul hip hop, man. You know what I'm saying?
Dilla
was a fucking genius. Rest in peace to the genius.
I think that was his best project, and he's had some great projects. But
you think? I guess best project.
As a complete album, he used Slum Village perfectly for this.
And Dilla had bars too, man. Motherfuckers didn't really understand. Dilla had some bars too.
Yeah, and I think out of my top 10, this was the latest than what I have. So everything is, and that was released in 2000. So everything is like 2000 and prior. But Fantastic Volume 2 makes my number 8.
I respect it. I'm not gonna argue with it, but I really feel like that what Dilla did for other people was a little bit stronger. You know, in my opinion, it was a little bit stronger. Maybe it's because it was kind of pushed. You know, there's obviously, you know, budgets behind marketing when you know, you're pushing singles and things like that. So maybe because it was pushed, but shit, man, I feel like if you think about what's the song that he did with Q-Tip and Busta, Can't Hold a Torch. Can't Hold a Torch. And you talk about the genius. Let me tell you. This is probably one of the most ingenious things that somebody's done. This dude took Minnie Riperton. Where she was hitting a high note. If you listen to that song and you hear the noise in the background, that's Minnie Riperton stretched out. In one of her songs where she's hitting one of those famous high notes.
Yeah.
He stretched that out and built a song around that shit.
Genius, man.
You know, off of this album, man, I like Climax. That shit is dope.
Yeah.
This is real smooth, man. I like the one, the song that he did a lot of shit for Tribe, man, but the one that he did on the Love Movement, Find a Way. You know, the lead single that was off that, I thought that was pretty motherfucking strong too. The Light that he did for Common, that shit was strong. You know what I'm saying? So
Dilla was,
you know, I mean, he did a lot of shit that was like really, 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 really strong. So
yeah.
But like I said, I mean, I'm it's hard for me to argue. I mean, Dilla's such a fucking genius. It's kind of hard for me to argue with that. You know, I don't have it on honorable mention or top 10, but you're not gonna get an argument.
But it was definitely me. To your point, it was that loved was an it, album though. That I love.
Yeah. And that's
I mean,
all that
I really
matters.
Did.
All right. So my number eight, it's only one.
Oh, well, okay.
It's The Chronic, Dr. Dre. This album, man,
it's an instant classic.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic shit, man. And you know, I enjoyed everything, even the skits and even the filler material, because you know the filler material had, you know, it introduced you to some other motherfuckers that was coming off the West Coast,
right?
And you know. I mean, it was a good ass album. I mean, who doesn't like the fucking Chronic?
I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean? Who doesn't like The Chronic?
And for a lot of East Coast, you know, folks like us, it introduced us to West. I mean, you know, it was the first West Coast, production.
But it definitely it hit hard. It hit just as hard as the funny thing about it was that you know, NWA had already, they had done three albums at the time. I think they did Straight Outta Compton, Niggas for Life, and they had done that EP, 100 Miles of Running.
And Cube was already out.
And he was already out. So he was out the group and already on the scene with two albums. Right. He'd already done two albums by the time.
Yeah, he did about two.
Yeah, by the time The Chronic came out. So West Coast was definitely on the scene, man, and this shit just took it over. And it had made it, I mean, after they started talking about smoking weed and shit, man, everybody started talking about this shit.
Right.
They were like, damn, we could talk about smoking weed on an album.
And they made it fun.
Right.
When you're talking about the intros, the interludes and stuff.
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
It's hilarious.
The $20 sack pyramid is still probably one of the best skits on record ever. And it's just 27 years old.
You know what I'm saying?
That's still probably one of the best skits on record ever.
That's so crazy,
that shit was funny, man. And that's it, man. What you got for number seven?
Seven sort of slides in to where you just said. So seven was Doggy Style for me.
Okay.
I liked it front to back. When it came out, it oh man. I mean, everything is about when. One thing about music with me is, what were you doing? It could have been a good time, bad time, whatever. And anyone that knows me on this broadcast knows, you know, that college days were just very, the early 90s was just the best time of my life. So a lot of these.
So you're saying that you had somebody in Doggy Style when it came out?
good insinuation, but no.
Down there in FAMU, you had him in Doggy Style, bro.
Hey, man, keeping that personal. But it came out like a week before my birthday, before I turned 20. And you can just imagine that coming out. And it actually came out, just sort of set the scene, like right before a probate show on campus. I think I can just see the Deltas, AKA. They had Doggy Style clips of the music that was just playing, and it was just a festive album for that time. And again, just like just with The Chronic, you know, a lot of the off clips were just, you know, that's W Balls or whatever. I forget the click, but some of the interludes or something, just very, very, and some really some good production if you think about it. Ain't No Fun, Gin and Juice. My favorite was Doggy Dog World, on that, and of course, Who Am I? And but that was my jump there.
Yeah, man, that shit could have been an R&B album, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that it was produced, I mean, it was really, I mean, it's a good ass album, man. I mean, it just.
Yeah, where
I will tell you this though. I will say this though.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. Every freaking artist who calls himself a rapper, or who calls himself, you know, any type of artist, the way the album is constructed and laid out is perfect.
Right, and it flows.
Starting with the best intro to any hip hop album ever. That's what I can say about this album. You know what I'm saying? Even though it's not in my top 10, it's the Lady of Rage came with that motherfucker and blew that shit out of the water. That's how you start off an album. It wasn't even Snoop on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was somebody else ripping the first track of the album.
Right.
And that's how you start a motherfucking album.
Yeah. And it showed Dre's brilliance as well. It was, you know, it was Snoop's debut, and yeah, it was just like a perfect timing. And to me, it exceeded everyone's expectations at the time, because I think people were really wanting Snoop after The Chronic.
Yeah.
And where you and I sort of switched out, my Chronic was in my honorable, and then vice versa with Doggy Style with you.
Right.
And the reason why I pushed that out was because Doggy Style to me had more tracks from front to back for me that I like. Yeah.
You know, you won't get an argument from me, man. I think that it was more kind of, I don't want to say it was overkill, but it was more of the same in my eyes coming off of The Chronic.
Okay.
Had Doggy Style drop first.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, so it was kind of, you know.
Same, yeah.
Yeah,
it was like a continuation.
It was kind of a continuation, so it's kind of more the same. So, okay. I mean, you know, no disrespect, but that's just.
No doubt.
It's just how I feel. I mean, I love the album. My number seven, I got 7A, 7B. God. It's the same, artist, though, man. It's the same artist.
Okay.
This is one that this guy was in my top five. And it's the albums are Bad and Radio by LL Cool J.
Okay.
I was trying to pick which one I wanted to go in the top 10, but when I thought about it, man, I kind of feel like that they're both important because Radio was so strong.
Yeah.
And normally people fall off on the second album, but Bad was even better. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I kind of feel like,
yeah, that it was.
I kind of feel like, but Radio was made me really love hip hop more.
Okay.
So it's like I'm never going to have that outside of my top 10 because it was just such
it was impactful.
It was very impactful.
It actually should have been on my honorable mention as well. Cause I was,
it's cause your list I was is messing fucked with that. Up.
Nah. Matter of fact, let me be honest with LL. My favorite album is Mr. Smith. I know it came later.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith. And to use what you said earlier, as far as like with Run DMC, how production, I felt like he was sort of a mature, but mm-hmm. had the same energy. Of course, he slowed some tracks down, like mm-hmm. the Boys and Men collab or whatever. But I think the thing with L, he keeps that energy in each album. And Bad was a step up. And it's good when a sophomore album can beat the first.
Right. But you know, because I mean, if I had to pick my favorite album by LL Cool J, I'd probably say it was Mama Said Knock You Out.
Okay, okay. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was gonna be the Panther.
Walking with the Panther. Nah.
I like Walking with the Panther too.
Nah.
All of them, man. He's
yeah. Mama Said Knock You Out was
L was that dude, man. Yeah.
So
I think he was on both of our top 10 MC lists, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think he was like number 6 or something with me. So.
Yeah, Mama Said Knock You Out came out in 1990. And that was kind of, I mean, people thought, because honestly, man, Walking with a Panther wasn't really well received, even though it has some hits on it. But when he came back, that shit was crazy. And that was when, you know, Marley Marl kind of stepped up and he started fucking with Marley Marl and shit. So.
Okay.
And you know, Marley's a legend, man. He's made a lot of shit that. This is fucking crazy.
You know, Marley and Eric B were roommates.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's, he let Eric use a studio. They lived together and he let him use his studio for recording Eric B for President, mm-hmm. which was the first release of
right.
Eric B and Rakim. But yeah, Marley's been there, man.
That's crazy. So that's my number 7A7B, man. What you got for number 6?
All right. Number 6 was your number 10E. AT Aliens.
Wow.
And actually, to be honest, it is I'm going to make that a 6A, 6B for the same group because Southern Playlist at Cadillac Music is, I think, equally as good for me, for both of them. It sort of marks Outkast first. What was that? The first and second? Release definitely Southern Playlistic.
Yeah, Southern Playlistic was first.
I think ATLN's was second.
Yeah, I think it was.
But Crumlin' Herb, Players Ball. Of course, I'm switching to Players Ball. First time we heard Hootie Who, Crumlin' Herb, and then ATLN's Elevators, Mainstream, and how they ended it with Growing Old. You saw how Outkast from one album to the next, really from a production standpoint, ATL and sort of sealed the cap on it. Of course, they had albums after that, but the timing with 94 for one and 96 for the other was a good time for hip hop, and I think that's what Outkast really hit a high mark. But I really enjoyed ATLians. And Southern Playlist at Cadillac Music.
Okay.
So that's my number 6.
My number 6, I got 6A, 6B. Not too bad. 6A, 6B. 6A is Long Live the Kane, Big Daddy Kane.
Okay.
you know, I love golden age hip hop, man. And this album really, it kind of rivaled some of the stuff that the Eric B and Rakim was doing as far as lyrical content and things like that. Because, you know, Big Daddy Kane is, you know, smooth ass lyricist, man. So you know, I think Six for that is, you know, really respectable, man. Had on that album, man, had Raw, Long Live the Kane, Set It Off was like, I mean, Set It Off to me is just as frenetic as Minute Work by Kool G Rap. It was crazy, man. Crazy. Ain't no half step was on there, you know, whatever. So yeah, I mean, it's definitely a classic album, man. My 6B. The more I think about this, man, I probably should have put this album higher. And it's America's Most Wanted by Ice Cube.
Okay.
I mean, this was the album, his first album that he made away from NWA. And this shit's classic. You know.
Is Jackin' for Beats on it?
No, Jackin' for Beats was on an EP.
Okay.
It was on the EP, Kill It Will. It was an EP. You know, that's the one, give me that beat, fool. That's a full time Jackin'. Yeah, that was on Kill It Will. That was an EP. So, but yeah, America's Most Wanted, man. I'm not putting money in the nigga jar for this because we're speaking in context, but The Nigga You Love to Hate is probably, you know, if you're trying to start off an album, that's how you want to start off an album. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, the intro, the Better Off Dead intro, you know, was, you know, it's just crazy, man. And then when you look at a lot of these albums that were made or during this time period would never be able to be made again.
Right.
Primarily just because of the sample clearance issues. Because if you just think about what's in, let's just say, The Nigga You Love to Hate.
Right.
Produced by the Bomb Squad, which, you know, which was the Shockleys, and a lot of people don't know, was actually Chuck D as well.
Yeah, he did P.E.S.A.
Yeah, so, but he produced up under a pseudonym. I think it was Carl Ryder.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's Chuck D.
Okay.
So, when you look at, let's just say the samples from The Nigga You Love to Hate. You got Weak at the Knees by Steve Arrington, Atomic Dog, George Clinton. Got the Meters on there. He even sampled A Bitch Is a Bitch by NWA and Gangsta Gangster. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So they jack beats from his old crew, Funky Beat and Superfly, you know, and keep on doing it by New Birth. So, you know, you think about, they sampled 7 songs to make 1 song.
Okay.
The main groove is the Weak at the Knees. But I'm just saying, you couldn't make those type of albums today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't do that shit now.
Yeah, I mean, the effort that goes into, you know, producing those albums back then, you know, you got to really, really respect it.
Right.
Versus, you know, you think about nowadays, you know, just the samples off of one song that you just said, you know, alone just lets you know the type of time and energy that goes into making a, you know, a masterpiece.
Right. I mean, it should got album of the year in Spin magazine in 1990.
Mm.
Eagle Trip magazine, man, said it was the number one album out of 25 greatest albums from 1980 to 1998. So I mean, it's got some accolades, man. So definitely a frenetic album. It went away from that West Coast stuff that Ice Cube had done before, and it was basically, it really sounded like Public Enemy, but with his right. voice and with the way he, you know, flipped up shit, it kind of really gave it that. It was some real gangster shit. So, but moving on, America's Most Wanted. All right, number 5, who you got?
Okay, number 5 is Illmatic by Nas, which is on a lot of people's lists. Critics out there is like 1 or 2 in a lot of write ups, but It made my number five. I think Nas improved along the way as well, but when this came out in 94, it was just classic, man. It was like a raw, I don't know, I think that was the turn. I think you and I talked about this before. It was like turning, like things went West Coast for a while. You know, you got with NWA, Ice Cube, and Chronic, and Dog, you know, Snoop, and what have you. And I think Nas sort of, this album sort of brought it back east, if you want to do the East West Coast thing. And, you know, I think Ready to Die was like sort of nail in the coffin that same year. So that was a tough, that was a big year. But Illmatic was, I mean, it was hot, man. Life's a Bitch. Started off with New York State of Mind, and he ended with It Ain't Hard to Tell. And in between just had some very nice, nice stories. He's a great storyteller, man. One Love, Represent, The World Is Yours, Halftime. Again, I think from front to back, I enjoyed it. I remember one of my college roommates, Big Jeff, I know he listens, so shout out to him. He listens to this podcast. He and I listened to this. The first time I heard this, we sat in the car, listened to the tape in the car in the parking lot before we were walking in somewhere. And we said that we missed the event because we were head nodding right there, listening to this whole album. And so it was sort of a cool time for me. But I got Nas and Illmatic, brother. Number five.
Yeah, man. That's a respectable spot, man. Because, you know, the one thing that always stood out, for me about Illmatic, man, was the, you know, the range of production, man. It sounded very cohesive. You know, it's definitely had that, you know, that boom bap, you know, kind of vibe of the time. But man, like I said, man, it had some really, really heavy hitters on them. It had DJ Premier on there, Pete Rock, Large Professor. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a classic album, man. It's classic. I will not argue with you on it. It's higher on my list, but I'm not gonna argue with you on that, man. That's not a bad spot.
All right.
So my number five, I got 5A, 5B. You know how I do.
This is Fresh's top 20, by the way.
Yeah, hey, man.
Ain't no
look,
top 10.
It's got to be top 20. It's you know, whatever, man. But still. 5A, 5B, man. I got Paid in Full, number 5A.
All right.
And I got The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
5B.
And see, I tuggle with that in terms of calling it a hip-hop album, per se. I put it in the R&B bucket, even though she has some, quote, you know, some rhymes, you know, several songs that have some rhymes on it. But when I mm-hmm. think of it, so I didn't even have it anywhere in here because I sort of separated it. I didn't know where to put.
Yeah, she, you know, she called it hip hop. So
okay,
I'm gonna trust her.
Okay,
this is the same person that helped.
Okay,
this is the same person that helped with the score. So
yeah,
you know, so whoever produced The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, did a hell of a job on this shit. So,
it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful
front to back, man. You talking about front to back? Front to back.
That's your definition of front to back,
right? So that's what it is. If you haven't heard The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, you're just a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you live on a rock.
Right. So, but yeah, go check this shit out, man. I'll check this shit out. Number four.
Okay, I got a part A and part B.
I do too.
Four.
Imagine that.
And mine is from The Roots.
Things Fall Apart.
Things Fall Apart and Illadelph Half-Life. It really could have been two and three for me. Like,
really?
Those albums.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Illadelph, to me, is another front to back. It came out in 96, and I mean, I don't know, all the songs, I mean, What They Do, Hypnotic, that was one of the smoothest, I mean, The Roots is a band altogether. You got Black Thought, you got the smoothness of the instrumentation of The Roots, man. It's just crazy. And then Things Fall Apart in 99 was like, I don't know, I just know I'm dumbfounded. As far as what those albums did for me, The Spark, That was one of my favorites. And of course, Love of My Life. Next Movement. Those were
some, Next Movement was the same.
Yeah. Those are two albums that I listen to all the time. Just like with Fantastic Volume 2, I listen to those all the time. And The Roots was one of my favorite groups, next to Tribe Called Quest and Outkast. But the, you know, I don't know what else to say with those, man. But that's my 4A and 4B, brother.
All right, man. So I will say my number four. I got 4A, 4B.
Okay.
4A. Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music.
Okay.
Outkast. This shit was fucking incredible. I still play this shit today. This shit's on my phone right now, bro.
Yeah.
It's in my phone right now. It's fucking incredible. You know, that was kind of the time to me, and this didn't go into my decision of putting it this high. The fact that, I think I listened to this whole album maybe about 2 weeks ago, when I was traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I just put it on, listened to the whole thing. So this is what really, in my estimation, put South on the map.
Yep.
Like, I mean,
it did.
I mean, it wasn't even, there was
dirty,
no more dispute.
South.
Right. It was no more dispute as to whether or not the South was a viable option in regards to producing hardcore hip hop that was polished. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we weren't Bama no more. Motherfuckers was always talking about people in the South of Bama. Now it's like, I got five neighbors from New York now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, not only do, you know, do we do hip hop and do it well, we also got better real estate value.
Right.
You know, so you get both for your money.
Right.
You get both for your money.
I mean,
so
Organized Confusion was out.
Noise.
Huh? I mean, Organized, what did I say?
Organized Confusion.
Oh, okay. Organized
that's
Noise.
That's another hip hop group.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. But Organized Noise was out. But I think this album, to what you're saying, made Atlanta, if you think about it, it's really monumental. It probably made Atlanta, that was like the start of Atlanta hip hop or Atlanta culture around music.
Yeah, because if you think about it, man, I, in my humble opinion,
unless somebody can correct me.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this, man. I might piss some people off, man, but I know there was a lot of shit that was popping in Atlanta before Outkast. When you had Troop, DJ Troop, that was down there doing his thing. Man, I remember Shy D. Was big in Atlanta back in the day. But I honestly feel like that, I mean, shit, even Jermaine Dupri was still doing, man, I remember I bought this album one time. It was, I think he was 17 when he did the album. It was by these girls called Silk Times Leather.
Okay, I've heard of that.
And, you know, and basically, you know, he just took samples and looped them up and shit. You know, you can tell he was 17 at the time when he did. Took the popular samples of the time and made an album. But, it was burgeoning at that particular time. But I feel like during that time, I feel like the South was on, but it wasn't Atlanta. It was more Houston.
Okay.
Because, you know, you had the Ghetto Boys, you know, that was out at the time and shit like that. And they had more of a...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were kind of on already. The whole Rap-A-Lot thing down there was pretty strong. So... but yeah, I think that particular album, in my opinion, really put, you know, the South on the map permanently. So,
right,
you know,
right.
if there's some Southern hip hop artists that we've missed, I mean, don't take offense to the shit, man, you know, but you can send us a text and leave us a voicemail and let us know. We'll shout them out when we do the, here's what they think about your show, on one of the shows, man, you know, cause if we miss something, we want to highlight it. We don't want to say that we're always correct, even though, you know, the show is, I could be wrong, but I doubt it. But when it comes to the culture, man, if you see things a different way, let us know. You know, 704-946-6060, 704-946-6060. And, you know, let us know if we missed something, especially when it comes to the Southern hip hop, man. And we'll go back and we'll shout it out. So, but anyway.
Some quality stuff too, not.
Yeah,
don't come up.
They'd be like, man, I made a mixtape, man. Yeah, this shit was bumping. I sold 50 copies in the barbershop on, you know, a Saturday.
Yeah.
No, That's not what we're talking about.
At the football game, yeah.
Right, but my number four B, man, is Illmatic.
Okay.
We done already talked about it, man. Illmatic is a fucking classic, dude. I mean, it's just... is what it is, man. Is what it is. I'm not going to belabor the issue.
Okay.
All right, number three.
Three is Ready to Die.
Biggest, okay.
Yeah, Biggie Smalls. So, I think you summed it up earlier. I think we sort of talked around it. It was just one. 94 is just a big year.
Yeah, this thing, because I think, didn't Outkast come out in 94?
Yeah.
I think that's on the playlist that Cadillac Music came out in 94. So you had Outkast, Illmatic, Ready to Die in the same fucking year.
Yep. You had it in the same year. And, but Juicy, One More Chance, Give Me the Loop, Warning, Big Papa, and The What. I mean, Warning, that shit, that just... you know, who the fuck is this paging me at 5:46 in the morning? Biggie just told some stories, man. It's just that this album sort of kept you listening, whether you liked him or not, like Puff or not, whatever. You just had to set whatever aside and say, this guy's just telling some stories that I just need to listen to,
dude. Bruh. Check this shit out.
Yeah.
We're going to go through, since we talk about 1994, this shit is crazy. Listen to the shit that came out in 1994. Okay. All right. We had Blunting on Reality, the Fugees' first album, which was a pretty decent album, actually.
Okay.
Gangstar, Hard to Earn, came out that same year. Main Source, Fuck What You Think, came out.
Main Source was tight.
Right.
Yeah.
Illmatic came out. Outkast came out. J-Ru the Damager came out. Sun Rises in the East came out. The Ghetto's Trying to Kill Me by Master P came out.
Wow.
8-Ball and MJG on Outside Looking In came out. They're very underrated. Very underrated. Very. Respect to 8-Ball, MJG, Memphis 10.
Memphis.
Maybe MC Breed came out. Funkified. Yeah.
What's that? MC Breed from Detroit?
From Detroit, yeah. Warren G, Regulate came out that year.
Yeah. And I think Above the Rim, I'm not sure if you still know, I believe the soundtrack.
Yeah, I think the shit came out too. The Brat came out. Her album, Funkified, came out that year.
That was that year?
That came out, yeah. Yes, Nice and Smooth, yeah. Jewel of the Nile came out. Let's see. Creeping on the Come Up by Bone Thugs and Harmony came out. Fucking Ill Al Scratch came out that year. You remember that? I mean, Creeping Me was underrated, but it was kind of repetitive. But but it was cool, though.
Yeah.
Let's see. UGK, Super Tight, came out. Daddy's Home by Big Daddy Kane came out. Of course, B.I.G. came out. Craig Mack's second album came out, Project Funk the World. That shit came out. Came out a week after Biggie. Resurrection came out in
94. Wow. Dude, that was a tight year. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Paris, Gorilla Funk came out that year. Murder Was the Case on the Death Row compilation came out. Freaking The Diary came out in 94. Scarface came out in 94. Shit, Willie D, Play With Your Mama. That shit was a crazy album, but
it's Willie D
from Ghetto Boys.
From Ghetto, yeah.
Yeah. Lords of the Underground. You remember Lords of the Underground?
Yeah.
Keepers of the Funk came out. Pete Rock and CL Smooth, The Main Ingredient came out. Method Man, Takao came out in 94. You know what I'm saying? That's just crazy, man. That's crazy.
That's a good list.
Right. 3-6 Mafia, Smoked Out, Loked Out came out. Black Sheep, Nonfiction came out. Man, so it was a crazy, crazy year, man.
And that was probably the best year for those who can remember and who participated. That was the best year for Freaknik in Atlanta. And all these songs. And that was like spring of 94. And oh my gosh, man. That's what made me think about Above the Rim, because I think Warren G's song was popular on that particular weekend for me. That was a very memorable event.
Yeah. Notice we nobody has mentioned any mumble rap yet. So we got a little bit more to go, man. So
all right, your three.
You want me to go first?
No, I just did three. Was ready to die.
Oh yeah, my bad. I got 3A, 3B by the same people.
Okay.
All right. So because I couldn't do one without the other.
I already know what it is, but go ahead.
You already know.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't say which one's A, which one's B, because it really just depends on what track comes on. You know what I'm saying?
I already know what you're about to say.
Low End Theory and Midnight Mirage. you knew it.
I knew it.
Man, I can't even. Dude,
that's crazy.
I can't even put, you know.
Yeah, because that's my number 2A and 2B.
Okay.
I kid you not.
All right, so cool.
So we can sort of quick, you know, talk about that together, and then you can go into your number 2.
I can go
two,
to my number 2. Okay, cool. Man, Low End Theory fucked my world up with the jazz.
Yeah.
With the way, you know, Q-Tip flipped the jazz. And by the way, Q-Tip did all the production on this shit. They pretty much said it in the documentary about Tribe Called Quest, so... The way he flipped that shit was,
it was.
That track. You talk about front to back,
front to back,
front to back. I mean, that's just like you can, if you had vinyl, you could drop the fucking needle anywhere on that album and you wouldn't be disappointed.
Right.
You know, it was just crazy. And the funny thing about Midnight Marauders was the fact that the production was even tighter.
Right.
Because it was like, okay, if you listen to what was the name of the first album? Was it Beats, Rhymes, and Life, People's Instinctive Travels or something like that?
Right.
If you listen to that, you could tell that was a rookie album. You could tell that, even though it was dope, you know, I mean, you could tell that it wasn't as smoothed out as the Low End Theory. When you heard the Low End Theory, you'd be like, okay, this is an expert as a producer right here. And then you hear Midnight Marauders, it was like, okay, that expert now has some more technical expertise to go along with it.
Yep.
And the shit was crisper. It was tighter. It was like, I mean, I don't know, man. It's kind of like.
It's one of those things you just shake your head at. And I'll
put you like this.
I echo what you just said.
This could have been like the dopest double disc ever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Had they put those, because you could have rearranged the tracks on them and made two discs.
Yeah.
This shit would have been the best hip hop album ever produced.
Right.
You know, they just happened to be done in two different years. So, but that's all. I mean, if you haven't heard the Low End Theory by A Tribe Called Quest, and it's not Tribe Called Quest, it is A Tribe Called Quest. If you haven't listened to their albums, you're not a hip hop fan. You can't say that you love hip hop.
Right. I denounce you.
Yes, I'm saying you can't say that you love hip hop if you don't have at least one piece of Tribe music that you have actually purchased. Man, if you wasn't born yet, okay, fine. I get that to you. But you can't be our age.
Can't.
And call yourself a hip hop fan.
Please.
And not have a Tribe
Save
album in your collection. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, anyway.
I agree. I mean, it's unspeakable. Again, it's the time period is just impeccable. 91 and 93 for those albums.
Right.
It came out the first semester of my freshman year in college. I sound like a broken record, but that was like, again, just a time where I really spurted it. You know, I grew and I remember listening to a Low End Theory and
that again, changed my the whole fusion. View
I was like, who? I mean, like, why? I've heard, you know, Left My Wallet and El Segundo,
mm-hmm.
you know, the native tongue stuff that they were with.
Right.
There was more beboppy.
Right. Right.
Which was cool. But like they just smoothed it out. And Midnight Marauders, again, I just sort of echo what you said. Electric Relaxation. I mean,
a war tour, man. That still goes off.
Anthems, man.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, just Scenario and Low End Theory. Check the Rhyme, of course. Excursions. I mean, you know, back in the days
thing,
when I was a teenager before I had status and before I had a pager.
Right.
I have, listen, right now, you can go to my car in the parking lot, brother.
And you got a pager?
No. A Sky Pager, right?
Right, right.
No. I have... You know, my car, it's a 10-year-old car, so I still have CDs in there.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the CDs I have in my car, the only two hip-hop CDs I have are these two CDs. I can go play them for you. And so I listen, if I feel like listening to Tribe, I got it at my fingertips on CD in the car. So, again, this is my A Tribe Called Quest is my favorite hip hop group, so that's why I have them at number two. I could have had them at number one,
right?
But those two albums were number two, and yeah, I just don't know what else to say on that, brother.
Well, you know, I want to say so much more on it, man, but I don't want to. You know, we've already had people on here for a minute, so. But yeah, man, if you look at the track list, like I said, Excursions, man, the way it came, I mean, the way it came on, man, and then, you know, it goes right into Bugging Out. It was crazy. But the whole joint on here, man, I mean, Vibes and stuff was dope. Check the Rhyme, obviously. Everything Is Fair is an underrated track. Jazz, that's the one that really, that was just crazy, man. And then, you know, the Posse Cut, that was back when people had a lot of Posse Cuts. Scenario is still that is a classic, you know. Both versions of Scenario are like, you know,
busted,
right? I mean, it's just crazy, it's, man, and because to me there's no, we still may have gotten Slum Village, you know what I'm saying, we still may have gotten Slum Village, we still may have gotten, you know, Little Brother and shit like that,
right?
But those guys had to be heavily influenced by this shit right here. This is the blueprint of those particular types, you know, types of groups, man. So, it's crazy, man. So anyway, I'm going to my number two.
Yeah.
My number two is Straight Outta Compton.
Okay.
The reason why this is number two is because this album pissed so many people off. Wasn't even funny. I was 17 years old when I heard this shit.
Mm.
And this dude, I'm not going to say his name. We were in the lunch line. And he was like, "You ever heard of Ice Cube?" And I'm like, "Ice who?" It's like, "Ice Cube." I'm like, "No, I ain't never heard of Ice Cube, man." He was like, "Yeah, you need to listen to this, man." He was like, "He had this tape. He had the tape straight out of Compton. So you need to listen to this." And at the time, I had never heard of NWA.
Right.
What I found, I couldn't find the tape that he had, which was Straight Outta Compton at the time, but I fell up on their old stuff, the NWA and the Posse, and I was like, "You Jerry Curl motherfuckers talking all this shit." Right. You know what I'm saying? So I listened to that and I was like, "Okay, all right." I'm feeling it. Finally got the doggone tape, which I left in my damn when I sold my Benz. This shit, you know, it was old school.
It was in there.
And shit, left that motherfucker in there. But anyway. Finally got the damn tape. And that shit blew my mind. You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
It blew everybody's mind.
I was like, "What?" Shit was crazy. Yeah. It's like, if, again, artists, rappers, if you want to make an impact, it doesn't take a lot to make a dope ass album. You can simply say Straight Outta Compton, crazy motherfucking name Ice Cube from the gang called Niggas With Attitude. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It doesn't take a lot. Because when that hit, I was like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, I mean,
that whole song, I was like, I felt like that I was riding shotgun, doing some illegal shit. Riding with some motherfuckers that was, you know, doing some dirty shit. You know what I'm saying?
'88?
It was '88, man. Okay. So, okay. I mean, I really felt like that I was along for that ride. And, you know, retrospectively thinking about, I mean, obviously music has a big impact on people. I never tried to really emulate that shit because that's not really my stilo, man. But I felt like that I was in that shit. The imagery that they portrayed, you know, when they fucked the police, gangster, you know, boys in the hood. I mean, Dope Man, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was really overwhelmingly entertaining and jarring to the senses of a young man. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, wow, it still had that impact. I still bumped that album too. That shit's on my phone too.
It's hot.
It's hot. Shit. The production was crazy.
It's hot.
It's classic.
It was like Public Enemy on steroids at the time in terms of like it. When you said it scared folks, especially white folks, but I think
when you get a letter from the FBI,
right? It was
you're on somebody's list.
Was it them that made the parental advisory?
I think it may have been Luke that ended up with the parental advisory shit though.
But they definitely was somewhere in there with that. But
man, we ain't had no two live crew. On the top 10.
Well, I don't know what your number one is yet. No, so okay. I don't know.
Well, it ain't too loud.
Nah. Yeah, but did you like the movie? Did the movie do
justice? I thought the movie was I thought the movie was cool, man. I mean, I'll put you like this. You know, they like the movie. So
okay.
And it's their lives. So it's like, if they say it's cool, then I ain't got no choice, you know, to say it's cool. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Because, but you know, I liked it, man.
Okay.
I thought it was cool.
Good.
The soundtrack to that shit's underrated. The Dr. Dre soundtrack.
Oh yeah?
That shit's underrated, man. People ain't really.
Okay.
It's definitely underrated. All right. Motherfuckers need to check that out. What's your number one, man?
Do you wanna go first?
Or me? Nah, I'll go first, man.
You sure?
Go.
What you think it is? After all that, the track that I'm going, any particular?
If I had to guess, man, it's probably. I don't know, man.
You don't know? Okay.
Because if it's not Low in Theory and Midnight Marauders, man, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Fear of a Black Planet.
Oh man. Okay.
Yeah, Fear of a Black Planet.
I have no argument with that.
It's definitely in my top 10. It really, when I sat down and do my list, it wasn't number one initially.
Okay.
But I had to really think about that album. And when I think about impact, and I know impact wasn't really a part of the criteria I said front to back, but that album really
was dope.
From front to back.
That's the one that started. Didn't they start out with Brothers Gonna Work It Out on that? Ain't that the one they kept? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You know I'm a PE fanatic, and so you know I know them shits.
Yeah. It came out in 90. 911 is a joke. Can't do nothing for you, man. Burn Hollywood Burn.
Burn Hollywood Burn, yeah.
I think Kane was on that and somebody else. And Polly Wanna Cracker. If you sit and listen to this.
Dude, you don't remember me talking about this shit? We talked about this shit on the show one time, man. We talked about Fear of a Black Planet on the show once before.
Yep. And then Fight the Power. I mean, honestly, I think for the message, for the timing of it, for the music behind it, for the songs that, even though they had a lot of publicity with their songs, and some not so much. If you can go back, they had infused some like Stokely Carmichael, you know, other. And actually, the title was inspired by one of my favorite authors, rest in peace, Dr. Frances Cress Welsin, who termed Fear of a Black Planet, and they really got that from her. Her book, which is a very good reader, the ISIS Papers, is still a good book, a good read for Black consciousness. And but anyway, all that sort of culminated, and you know what I came up with? I said, okay, how do I make, because I tussled with one and two. I said, if I planted a capsule in the earth for somebody to come back 250 years from now, and this isn't part of my criteria, but this is what I thought about towards the end. What if somebody said, what did Americans, Black Americans listen to as hip hop? What do they define as a good hip hop album 250 years ago? I'd rather leave that in that capsule than any of these others that I mentioned, or more so than, in terms of the message. I would want somebody to get the message. And Fight the Power was one of the, I mean, it came out the year before that they actually released this with Do the Right Thing movie. But to me, that was like the best hip hop song of all time. One of the best songs, hip hop song. And that's just sort of drove me, as well. So I think just from a holistic, just like the timing, not to reiterate myself or repeat myself, but number one album, hip hop album for me, Fear of a Black Planet, Public Enemy.
Well, I will tell you this. My album takes a nation of millions to hold us back.
Okay.
By Public Enemy.
Wow. There we go.
So let me sit up in this motherfucker, man.
Hey, get comfortable.
Let me tell you, man, this album changed my whole fucking perspective. This is the album that actually made me conscious.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, this album, along with sprinkle of, you know, some KRS-One here and there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Really kind of boosted and elevated my consciousness, man. This particular album is the reason why I'm lukewarm on certain holidays. Okay. And why I learned about certain people. Then you get into the actual, just the production of it. It's fucking crazy. This album couldn't be made today. I have a book about this album. There's a book that I think the series is called 33 and a Third.
Okay.
Where they write these little books and they give you the history of the album, the production techniques, interviews and stuff like that. This album couldn't be made today. It would be too cost prohibitive because of the amount of samples that were used and things like that. Typical Bomb Squad stuff. That's just how they do. But when you look at the, just the singles that they released, Rebel Without a Pause. It's crazy.
Sick.
You know what I'm saying? Use the Funky Drummer bonus beats loop and built the whole song around it. Mm-hmm. Bring the Noise.
Oh, yeah.
Don't Believe the Hype. Night of the Living Bassheads, which is a truly underrated song. Motherfuckers don't know how important that song really is.
Yeah.
Speaking to the, you know, this came out in 88, so that was at the height of the crack. Epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
So that song was truly fitting. Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos, which is probably one of the best story songs, you know, ever made. You know, when you talk about, you know, I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for the army or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so when you talk about the heightened level of consciousness within this particular album from front to back.
Right.
This is it.
Right. And when I thought about P.E., which is, I think, your favorite group.
It is. Not even fucking close.
We just spoiled
that show.
Yeah, right. but when I think about P.E., I considered this album, but for me, and not to take any away from that one, just the title alone, because didn't Fear of Black Planet come right after?
Yes.
Like maybe 2 years after?
Yeah, well, it was
88 was
Fear of Black. 88 was, it was Yo Bum Rush's Show. 87 Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. 88 Fear of Black Planet came in 90.
So I think it was like a continuation of the same energy and message. But it was the title that got me. Fear of a Black Planet. If you just think about that, Fear of a Black Planet, and where that album woke you up, Fear of a Black Planet woke me up. And so I just found that to be interesting. In the same year, going back to one of my honorable mentions, just real quick, was KRS-One's Edutainment woke me up at the same. It was like that same awakening period was off of really those two albums. That's why I definitely had KRS-One and honorable mention, but this one by far as an album, and yours was, I mean, what else can you say? I think on most critics lists, yours, It Takes a Million, did I say that right?
A
Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back is like in the top. It's either 1, 2, and 3 on a lot of critics' lists, from Billboards to Rolling Stone. I mean, like, you just go through, you just Google top 100 hip hop albums, and that's like one of the top three.
Yeah, I mean, they address a lot of shit on the album, man. You know, in addition to, you know, socially conscious music, they even made a song about the sampling at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the song was called Can I Get a Witness, and we talked about, he even says, you know, yeah, I took it, what you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? Okay. I mean, it's interesting song, man. So they even talked about, and this is, I dropped this on, you know, one of my female friends, and she had no idea what the fuck I was talking about. She's talking about how much reality TV she watches. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, this shit makes you dumb, man. And I was like, you watch a Channel Zero. And that's a
song.
That's a song on there. Yeah. And that shit went way over her head. But But hey, it is what it is.
You know, the only thing that sort of draws me back from PE is Flavor Flav. Like, if I feel
this shit doesn't work without Flav.
I mean, in
Chuck D even said that this shit doesn't work without Flav.
In hindsight, yeah. But I'm just saying,
Flav, like, is a musical genius, dude.
Okay, I wouldn't.
Flavor.
Come on, that's not.
Dude, let me tell you.
Let's not soften the show on that.
No, let me tell you. He is a musical prodigy. He plays several different instruments. He is not. I mean, don't let the Flavor Love shit.
Oh yeah, no,
get you twisted up on that shit, man.
I'm just saying.
Flavor's dope.
I'm just saying that Chuck is like way up here. It's not like, you know, Tip and Fife. I mean, it's not like a complimentary relationship or partnership with them to me. But you know. Not to sour the top. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Reg and Fresh have two number ones that are very closely linked up.
Ain't that some shit?
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah, for real.
I thought you were gonna have like Heavy D for your number one.
No, man.
Surprising.
Yeah, but you know, I'm surprised you have some shit like Gerardo's Vanilla Ice and shit.
Oh no,
no, motherfucker. But anyway.
But who did we miss real quick? Anybody that just as you maybe thinking about it, I thought maybe Scarface somewhere, No Limit somebody, and No Limit somewhere.
No,
KRS-One, Eminem.
If we doing number one hood classics, I'd have a lot of No Limit shit on there. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but this is as far as
yeah,
you know, just hip hop shit, man. Nah,
I'm just throwing some stuff out. Be anxious to see what people, some of our listeners.
I will say this, man. I didn't include some shit by other members of the Wu-Tang Clan, man, because they had some
like Raekwon.
Yeah, they had some hot shit out there, man. So
I think Raekwon's, I forget the name of it.
Only built 4 Cuban links.
Yep. That one was tight.
Yeah, man. So we're looking at, you know, I can't think of nobody, man, that I think that we've mentioned. I mean, Mos Def, Black on Both Sides was a nice.
That was good. But I think we both had Black Star in our honorable mentions. And I think Talib Kweli is sort of underrated in a sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I didn't even think about Black Moon, End of the Stage. That shit was a nice album too back in the day. Red Man, what the album? God damn, I missed it. Damn, fuck.
Yeah, Red Man, that was.
Damn. Yeah.
That was tight.
What
about your Fat Joes or any, I mean, you know.
Don Cartagena.
Old Terror Squad.
Yeah, Don Cartagena was a good album, man. Yeah. By Fat Joe.
Slick Rick.
Yeah, Slick Rick, man.
That was a good album, but.
Yeah, it was a good album.
You know, good storytelling.
But yeah, man, that's our show, man. You know, we're gonna leave it right there. We're gonna let the people take it from there.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we could go on all day, man. I mean, I could literally, to me, the only thing that is indisputable, or incontrovertible, you know, any insert your Don King adjective there. The only thing that you can't change about my top 10 is my top 3. I think everything else.
Okay.
Everything else I could adjust and be okay with it. You understand what I'm saying?
I think I feel very very similar.
Yeah, I mean, after 3, I can move some stuff around and wouldn't have a problem with it. But there's nothing, I mean, you're not going to take in, there's nothing below 3 that's going to replace Tribe, NWA, or PE.
Okay.
This shit ain't going to happen. I mean, I might slide in the Blueprint.
No,
maybe move that shit around a little bit.
No, I think you're good. I think you're good with your statement.
I don't know. Yeah. Not in the top 3, but I'm just saying he might be 10F.
Yeah, like, damn.
You know what I'm saying?
Because yours actually, you ended up with, just rough count. You probably had about 17 out of your top 10. And I probably had 14.
Dude, I had 20. So I just gave you my top 20 and my top 20 hip hop albums.
Some people getting double for their money.
I'm telling you, here at I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, we provide the most entertainment value for your listening pleasure.
Yes, for your money. Damn it.
So yeah, man. So you can go ahead and end it right there, man. I don't think we really missed anybody, man. I mean, any of my honorable mention could have been number 10. That's how you made my honorable mention. If I had problems,
yep,
fitting you in there, I just didn't want to make 10 A through Z. But any of my honorable mentions could have been a top 10 hip hop album.
Right.
So we'll leave it at that. So you can argue with us from that particular standpoint. So, but again, man, you can always hit us up at 704-946-6060. 704-946-6060, man. Let the debate begin. We know y'all got some shit, man. Y'all been hitting us up for when do we do top 10 MCs? Episode what? I can't even remember. But I'm just
saying the first 10.
I'm still getting texts off that shit. So, this is probably gonna generate some interest. And yeah, there's no future. There's no fucking Migos. You know, none of that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so top 10 real hip hop.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Top 10 real hip hop album. So
no disrespect. Yeah.
No, disrespect meant, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Fuck that shit. But also real shit though, man. Nah, I mean, you know how I feel about young black men getting their money. Go do your thing. You just ain't in the top 10. You ain't in the top 50. So, but get your damn money by all means. Get your motherfucking money, black man. Get your motherfucking money. So, we're gonna go ahead and leave it there, man. 704-946-6060. 704-946-6060. Hit us up.
Be good, be safe, and behave, brother.
And we out.
I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you. Expression reds, their curators are cool. The culture and consciousness brought directly to you. Tune in every week for the newest of new and occasional politics as it pertains to you. Divergent point of views make for a whole picture. And we suggest you get your money up and take the shit with you. Ain't no fountain to you, but it's a secret elixir to ensure the black man as a permanent fixture. Standing here in America behind enemy lines, where more often than not my skin's considered a crime. Cops kill us daily and will never do time, while a crooked ass judge decides to fate for mine. One day at a time is what my mama would say. And since mama said living ain't no time to play, and since I got a little game, I'ma give it away. But let's start the show before I get carried away. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. So don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should probably hurry. It gets crowded. Bring a friend with you. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Don't enter this debate if you ain't bout it. Reflection and introspect. Make sure that you come correct. Then you should hurry up. It might get crowded. Bring a friend with you.
You just tuned in to I Could Be Wrong, But I Doubt It, hosted by Fresh and Reg. Holla back next week.